It has been a nice run. It's really been fun watching the Busch Center evolve over the last, well, I don't know, I guess 13 years. But since 2016, the CEO of Busch Center, and really one who's put the big stamp on, is Ken Hirsch. He's getting ready to step out. We want to talk to him before he leaves. Good to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be here. You talked to me when I first got here, and that seemed like yesterday.
Yeah, I know. And it's interesting because this is, let me ask you this. Is this place what you thought it was going to be? When I thought of a library, I never thought I would be here at a wedding reception or an energy conference or, you know, listening to one of the stars of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, I think that, you know, the expression is if you've seen one presidential center, you've seen one presidential center. And they all reflect the desires of the principal and what he wanted his post-presidency to be about and to be like. In President Bush's case, the archives, which is the library, is owned and operated by the federal government, the National Archives and Records Administration. That exists in all of them. And that's a federal function, and a former president doesn't really have much
to do with it. So is that just a small part?
Very small part. In fact, I give it almost no mind share. Think of the archives here at the Busch Center as the Dallas branch of the National Archives building that's on the Mall in Washington. Okay, and that's owned and operated by federal employees. I have next to nothing to do with it. The museum itself was built and funded by the Bush Foundation, and as they have been in other presidential libraries and museums, and then the keys are turned over to the National Archives, and the National Archives runs them. That was the case until 2023 in our case, when after about a 4 or 5 year process, I worked with the Archivist of the United States to take back operations of our museum.
Yeah.
But the Bush Institute is something that's very unique. And the Bush Institute is a leading policy institute, and President Bush wanted that to be something that continued long after he was gone, something that continues to put forth policies that today we would call compassionate conservative policies, focused around freedom and opportunity, accountability and compassion.
Well, it seems pretty eclectic. I mean, I've seen, you know, Henry Kissinger here, and gosh, Ben Bernanke right after he left the Fed was a fascinating speaker.
Well, and that's what, you know, having a presidential center has an ability to convene that very few places do. And in a community like ours, this is a really important asset for this region. We are able to take on work that other people can't take on. We're able to attract people that other people can't attract, and bring our audiences that kind of content. And now, in a post-COVID world, now that's all live streamed as well. So we've really expanded our digital platforms to boot. So this place, to answer the question is, this place had a lot more going on than I knew when I stepped in, and now we have even more going on.
Well, did it evolve the way you wanted it to? Did you have to pull back on some of the ideas?
Well, you know, budgetarily and just from a resource standpoint, we only have 24 hours in the day. We only have one stage. I always like to say that everything we do should be excellent, but we can't do every excellent thing. And yes, we've had to say no a lot. We get a lot of inbound. A lot of people want to partner with us. A lot of people want to appear in our content, but we can only do so much. But in the areas that we do focus on, we want to go as deep as we absolutely can. So the areas we focus on around opportunity for all, around strengthening our democracy, and around advancing free societies around the world, making sure the U.S., we still believe the U.S. has a role to play in the world. We are not isolationists. We are not protectionists. We believe in right and correct immigration reform. So, these are things that are principled positions that the Bushes worked on while they were in the White House and wanted to see continued. Our veterans work, what we do with veterans' mental health around the country, is something that, you know, people in the community may not be aware of.
I'm not aware of that at all. What do you do with that?
We have formed our Veterans Wellness Alliance, which has brought together the largest peer organizations in the veterans community with the most expansive mental health providers in the country. And the hardest to reach veterans are those who are outside the VA and who don't have private employers. Okay, they're the hardest to reach. And who, if they have any mental health issues or challenges, how do you get to them and what are their resources? So we said, you know who can get to them? The peer networks. Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, Student Veterans of America. These are the Mission Continues and Wounded Warrior Project. These are organizations that exist as a fraternal organization for the vets themselves, not necessarily to deliver services to them. So we created, with our network, we created a white label product called Check-In. And it lives on the websites of each of those organizations. And when those buddies see somebody not doing well, that's where they notice it. Hey, listen, you're isolating. You know, you live in some part of the country that has no access. Why don't you go to the website, hit that Check-In button.
But this is the hub of the network?
We formed it. We run it through the Alliance. We raised money for it. And we now have a nationwide network of operators that you wouldn't know, and they live in our partner organizations, right. But it's not branded a Bush product, okay? Because our guys already run for president. We don't really care whose name is on the door. What we care about are these people getting help.
So right? Let me ask you about the
that
university.
Those are the kind of things that we do.
Well, and let me ask you about the university, because you've got this great location. You're sitting here. This isn't just a piece of real estate, is it? I mean, you're right next to SMU.
No, it's not a piece of real estate at all. They're partners, and we have many of our institute people, as well as myself, who teach across the street. We access their faculty when we need it. President Bush and Mrs. Bush have been known to pop in on classes besides basketball games. So it's very symbiotic. We do a lot of work together, and you know, it's one of those things that we don't. There is no publication that tracks it. So we need to advertise it, but there's so many different ways that we work together, and we're looking forward to working with Jay as he takes the helm, and Gerald's been a great partner. He likes to say he's a great landlord, which he is. But
he can rightfully take ownership. We talked to him the other day. I was reminding him of that sort of personal hell that he went through for a little while, because this was not a popular decision to recruit the library and put it here on the campus. And he had he had some faculty uprisings and that sort of thing. I don't hear any of that anymore.
Which is good. That's what I say. That all predated me, so I never saw that, but I did hear about it. But I never took there to be any real reason why we can't work together and shouldn't work together. And when we look at the economic impact that we've had on the region, we look at the kind of social impact we've had around our convening power and the work we've done with SMU, I don't think you could pry it away from the faculty today.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't think you could pry it away from Dallas now. I mean, it seems to be ingrained. So is it self-sustaining? Because you guys are so busy. It seems like every time I want to get tickets to something, you're already sold out. Every time I look around, there are all these cars, and it turns out there's a wedding reception or a bar mitzvah or something going on, you know, on the lower level. This place really stays busy.
Well, yeah, we, you know, the rental events.
And you got a good restaurant.
Yeah, the rental events happen when we don't, but we've become our own biggest customer, so our rental business is not as big as it was since we have so many more events that we're doing every year. It's a vibrant center, is what it's supposed to be. And so I think you just answered your question. Is it sustainable? It's absolutely sustainable because it's ingrained in the community, because we have repeatable programming, because we have a strong financial base, you know, because we have thought leadership that is known around the country and around the world. Those are the kinds of things that attract attention, both physical and online. So President Bush's, you know, really charge to me when I took this job was to not make it about him, okay? Because if it's just about him, that when he passes on, there'd be nothing but, you know, we'd have a wonderful museum right. with a lecture series, okay? But he said, no, we're doing good work here. I want this work to continue. So I took that as the challenge. How do you really make this place long-term sustainable? And the way to do it is to, instead of asking people to give a gift to the Bushes, you ask people to invest in the work inspired by and consistent with the values of the Bushes, okay? If you ask them to come to an event, you don't tell them to come, they're going to come see President Bush. Tell them they may be sitting elbow to elbow with President and Mrs. Bush, listening to some expert that they don't get to see or hear very often. Those are the kinds of things we've been able to do. And so we use the, we really think of those values that the Bush's public service is built upon, freedom, opportunity, accountability, and compassion, and say we're, everything we do should start with those concepts. And then underneath that air cover, make sure we have great thought leadership, make sure we have great repeatable programming, make sure we have great constituent engagement, and make sure we have great financial stability. We do those things, and we will be here forever.
You know, over the last 9 years, you've really developed a lot of enthusiasm. It's obvious that you really enjoy this place. I mean, you enjoy what you do.
You know,
you're going to miss it?
I am going to miss it. It's bittersweet, but it's time for fresh legs. I mean, that's been 9 years and change. And, you know, it's every plant needs to be repotted. And I think I was repotted from the private equity business into here. Yeah. And now it's time for fresh eyes and ears and to take it from
here. Well, we'll wrap this up right now, but I want to come back and I want to talk to you about the future of the institution, but also your future. But Ken Hirsch getting ready to step down, I guess, what, officially September?
September 2nd.
September 2nd as CEO of the Bush Center. It's good to have you with us again.
Been a pleasure.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.